With the psalmist there, we celebrate the goodness of God's word, his ways, his greatness. And we're picking up in that very word today in Philippians chapter 3. I invite you to return in your Bibles there, Philippians 3. We'll be reading the first six verses. And as you're turning there, I'll remind you where we've been in the series of late, over the last chapter. Paul's been encouraging unity and the call to get together on a number of things. We've seen that the call includes for you to stand out in this world and to shine and also to work out your faith obediently. Obedience to the gospel, knowing Christ is the goal of your faith, living in the joy that he keeps bringing up throughout this letter. So that's where we've been in short. Last time in particular, we looked at Epaphroditus. He was a team player on the team that served in this way. In fact, he's apparently now back in Philippi because he just brought back this letter to Paul's friends there. And in chapter 3, Paul is going to remind his friends of some very important matters that still affect Christians. That should be no surprise when you open God's word. The word is written for you. In this case, it was written to the Philippians, to the church, and that spills over into your hearts, your lives by the Spirit. And the word today from Philippians chapter 3, verses 1 through 6 goes like this. Hear the word of the Lord. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh. Also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for giving us truth. We thank you for giving us your Spirit so that we can comprehend the truth. We pray, Father, that you would be pleased to lead all of us here this morning into the joy of your gospel truth. We ask for this in Jesus' name. Amen. For various reasons, I would contend that I had a very good childhood. Collected baseball cards. Had neighborhood pals, in addition to three older brothers and a younger sister. I played with metal Tonka trucks, not the plastic kinds. Come on, you know. We only had 3.5 channels, so I played outside a lot. And one of the things I would do outside that I liked quite a bit was ride my bike. All kinds of ways to ride a bike. Over a chunk of wood, like a ramp, like Evel Knievel, if you know who that is, or maybe just through some puddles. Over a ditch, to your friend's house, etc. And if your childhood was anything like mine and your neighbors were anything like mine, you had a particular bike path that included awareness of where dogs were, particular dogs. Certain bike paths would run the risk of encountering less exciting dogs. And for me, the encounters didn't always go so well. I started to get the idea as a kid that the dogs were magnetically attracted to my bike pedals. I'd come running for those very eagerly, and I'd be riding along, and here comes one of the neighborhood dogs. What did he want? Well, usually he'd just bark and chase me a little bit, and that was bad enough. But there were others in the neighborhood, and those dogs, their owners, I should probably say at this point, instead of leaving a sign on the fence at home, beware of dog, they should have put that around the dog's neck as a collar. They wanted to do more than bark. They wanted to bite. They wanted to bite Craig, young Craig. They had more than bark in their bite. They had bite in their bite. And those dogs, to this day, I'm guessing they're not still alive. But I learned basically to predispose myself to beware of the dog. Beware of the dog. And it's true that sometimes in your life, caution is learned, wariness is learned the hard way, maybe by getting bitten. But it doesn't have to be that way. You can learn other ways. You can learn by someone telling you something. Beware, and then you learn. The experience of others, about the ways, and the ways of wayward dogs, even. And here we have in God's Word, which is timeless, words of warning from the Apostle Paul. He's warning his friends of another kind of dog, the kind that wants to attack not just your faith in general, but as he's been saying throughout the letter, they want to attack your joy in the Lord. Chasing after you, mean-spiritedly. And it's because some dogs both bark and bite your faith and your joy that we need to beware of those dogs. That's the title today, Beware of the Dogs. I want to look at least three dogs. The first one takes the longest, so don't panic when we... Oh, no. What about the other two? We'll get there. Here's the warning. I'll give them names. Mangy Mutt, Loyal Lassie, and Rescued Runt. 3 points, three dogs to beware. Mangy Mutt, Loyal Lassie, Rescued Runt. And the reason we need to give these dogs special attention this morning is they have a tendency here to come charging after you in your bike path, your ride, your walk to Zion, if you will. And we want to identify them, locate them, find them in your neighborhood, maybe in your own orbit. Their bark, their bite. That will help us equip ourselves better to avoid them. To beware that it might go well with your ride. If you look with me at the first two verses, Philippians chapter 3, you'll see that Paul is telling us, first of all, to watch out for what we will call the mangy mutt. I didn't bring a picture of that, but I'll let you draw one in your head. You know what they look like. They're even ugly dog contests. It would be something like that. And this is no offense to dogs today, by the way. Now, there's some dog lovers out there. I'm not going after you. We're going after, right now, the mangy mutt. And so if you think mangy, you think, you know, they're unkempt. They got matted down hair, maybe, you know, snaggly teeth. They want to bite you. Squinty eyes. Mangy, you know. And before Paul calls this dog by its true name, listen to how he sets up the scene for the arrival of this dog. Verse 1. See that? Finally... also translated, furthermore, the commentator that wanted to get into, why is Paul saying finally right here? It's furthermore, like, and another thing at this point. My brothers, rejoice in the Lord. I said that before. Maintain your joy in Jesus. Express it freely and openly in even the ways he's just been talking about. You belong to him. Trust him, as we've heard already in today's service. Live like you belong to him. Rejoice in the Lord. When your joy is attached to Jesus, it affects your life. And you won't be interested in more. Maybe you've noticed the more you see your trust in Jesus grow, the less you need more of other things pitched to you, which is partly what's going on here in this letter. Sometimes we think the sunny circumstances will dictate the joy, and Paul's reminding you, no, your joy is in the Lord. It's right there. It's in the Lord. Funny that the sunny days are great, I get it. But if you think you need those to have joy, you're missing the point. You're missing the person. Paul's back on point there. You don't need something extra in your faith. You don't need more than Jesus. He says, really? Is that true? That's true. Your joy is in the Lord. Let's develop that some. Because sometimes we think we need more, that you need to do more. You need to feel more, right? If you get sucked into that, you might find that there's a dog biting and barking. A mangy mutt. Look at me at verse 1. This is what Paul says right after commanding God's people to rejoice in the Lord. He says to them, verse 1, to write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Paul's telling you, I'm going to repeat something here. This is not a new word. This is an old word. It's important. It's for your good. You need to hear it again. It's review. Review's good. And it's safe. You ever think of that? Hearing the same thing again is safe. It provides a certain level of protection to it. Safety. Do you like feeling safe? I like feeling safe. Is this going to help you feel safe? Repetition for your good? Is repetition itself for your good? Well, here it comes. See the word of protection he's giving them again? Verse 2, see it? Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. Right, so look out or watch out, beware, as we're saying it today. Dogs, evildoers, mutilators, wow. So those who destroy, they don't heal, they mutilate, and he'll attach this to circumcision. And I say, yeah, this is very strong. Some say this is some of the strongest language that Paul uses in his letters. The original description here in the language might be even more graphic. One reason, Greco-Roman culture, maybe you knew this, they didn't like dogs. Dogs were detestable. Some dog lovers might not like to hear that. Not every dog has its day, I guess, in Greco-Roman culture. Back then, you were viewed as vicious. You were a scavenger, mangy. A zoological lowlife. You might say, wait, what? Woofy? They don't love Woofy? Why not? Look at her. Yeah, it's hard for modern day dog lovers to understand this. Nowadays, dogs are pets. They're literally domesticated. They live, they dwell in your house. Some consider them best friend, pets, pals, not pests and problems. Paul's day, they're biting. And in the eyes of some Jews, it was the Gentiles who were the dogs. You know, those unclean animals. And Paul seems to be turning the tables here a bit. He wants you to beware of these dogs, and very likely the description Paul uses to warn his friends about this cutting influence, this false teaching, is they're called, some call them Judaizers. They come up from time to time in Paul's writings. These are the mangy mutts, the Judaizers. They like to chase, they like to run around, go from town to town and convince all those new Gentile Christians that their faith is lacking. You know, you guys, you need more. You need more. You want to be legitimate here, you want to be true, you need the Jewish extras, you know, some of the things mentioned here, like circumcision, the cutting of the flesh. You can add your Sabbath restrictions, make them strict like ours, and then we'll check that out. The old food laws, yeah, those two. You need these add-ons to your faith. So you got the good news, but you see, today we might say you need the good news and the feels. They would say, well, you need the good news and our rules, and we'll catch up on those as need be. Gospel requires more than what you've heard. Yes, there's a crucified, risen Christ, but, you see. And this message, this false teaching, is going to carry a big, bad bite. And your faith will feel it. Your feelings will feel it. Jesus plus. They're Jesus plusers. They're joy killers. Beware. Look out. Lying, mangy mutts. Paul gives no particular evidence that these dogs had found their way into Philippi, but one thing's for sure, they're going to get there. They're on the prowl. They're chasing the children of God with their lies. And when they got there, Paul tells them, he says, watch out, look out, beware. Before you know it, the mangy mutts, they're barking, loudly lying, telling you that the way to find favor in the eyes of God is to try harder, to follow these rules, conform to the list, and at least outwardly look good. Is that unique to the first century? Do you think church people today run into dogs like this? Joy killers? Jesus plusers? What enraged Paul about the bark of the Judaizers is that it carried such a sharp bite. This teaching, it takes the rich grace of the good news of Jesus and it makes it a burden. Are you suspicious of a word that makes you feel burdened? Did you come here today to hear good news? Or do you want to leave with a list? That's from me, or from a mangy mutt of old. Do's and don'ts in the name of true religion, false teaching. In a word, it's called legalism. I'll break the suspense. That's what it is. It's legalism. As though keeping laws brings life when it doesn't. And you know why it doesn't? Because it can't. The law can't give you life. As God's people today, the lie here is alive and well, even in the church. So even in the church? Even amongst Christians find a strange delight in filling their lives with things to keep them busy? According to your champion, you better do these three things, or, you know, you're not really quite as awesome and spiritual as me. List upon list. In seminary, we had an exhortation. When you get in the pulpit, make sure you make a distinction between a biblical mandate and a good idea. I think I've said that before. That stuck with me. It's a biblical mandate. There's things that God requires, and there are things that other people require. And there's a good idea. There are good ideas, lots of good ideas in life. I'll give you some examples of distinctions that we'll start simple here. Is it a good idea for parents to take their kids to the dentist twice a year? Probably. Is that a biblical command? Would you ever expect a preacher to say, you know, parents, you need to take your... You can ask me afterward, do I really? Did God say that? Is it a good idea to read two chapters of the Bible every day? Sure. Sure. Three. Is that a command? If I were to say, now, brothers or sisters, you need to read two chapters. All right? Good idea? Biblical mandate. Good idea can be a plus that binds you. Mangy mutts. They're going to sap your joy. Beware. Someday before too long, a mangy mutt is going to chase you up the street, bark at you, and lie that you need more than Jesus. More than what he's already done. Obeyed the law for you. Paid the wages of sin on a cross for you. Done. Done. That's good news. They say, woof. Paul says, beware. Look out. Look out. Dogs are out there barking, biting at the gospel. Relatedly, at least briefly, because this kind of thing happens, it's related, and I won't develop too much why, but have you ever been sold something that you know you didn't need? Like a timeshare? No offense to timeshares, but extended warranties, how about just some fries? You want some fries with that? Sure. Now, why did you say yes to such things? Ever wondered why, the motive, why you bought into the thing? Was it because you were fooled? Or, in some way, did you really believe that you needed that thing, that extra thing? There's a saying, buyer beware, and today it's Christian beware. Beware of dogs. Beware of dogs. Don't buy into the false teaching of mangy mutts. They want to sell you add-ons to your faith, stuff you don't need. Your sins are covered. You heard that already today. You're forgiven in Jesus' name. That's done. Can't make Jesus love you more by adding on. Don't try harder. Give up. Rest in what the Lord has done for you, body and soul. You don't need another list of do's and don'ts today, so I'll move on. The call is to trust in the Lord Jesus. And I'll say it again. When you do that legalistic bark and its bite, it won't be as appealing to you. Because you'll be able to see it for what it is. It's a lie. It's a joy stealer. Mangy mutt, that's one. Crosses your path in the Christian walk, beware. Bark and the bite. And next, the loyal lassie. Again, this one's shorter. Loyal lassie. This is point two, or in my notes, pup two. Lassie. And for those of you who grew up with those 3.5 channels, you might say, wait a minute, I thought lassie was good. Why is Lassie seemingly on the bad list here? He's loyal, you say. He helps. He doesn't harm. He helps. Doesn't he? You've seen the show. He helps on TV, but in real life, let's look at this possible bite. And the bite here of the loyal Lassie is what is referred to here as self-confidence. It's confidence in the flesh. How could that be a bad thing? Well, Let Paul explain. There's a bark that goes something like this. It says, woof, I'm pretty good. Woof, I work really hard. Woof, I've done the best I know how, so woof. Why wouldn't God accept me? Have you ever heard anything like that? Have you ever said anything like that? Maybe in your little silent heart, I'm doing pretty well. It's so easy to do. If you look at me at the model dog presented in verses 4 through 6, you'll see for yourself that even perfect loyalty, when it's misguided, has a bite. Very loaded verses here. Paul's reminding his friends. He's giving you a background of his own experience with the law. Let's see how that went. He's letting them know, hey, if anyone had a reason, this is pretty much what he says, you got a reason to boast in personal effort, that's me. Me. Beginning in verse 4, Paul starts rattling off credentials. See in there? Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh, in other words, earning righteousness by being good, by doing the things, everything by the book. That's me, Paul says. Continuing on, he adds verse 4 following. See that? If anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Verse 5, circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. If I'm looking at resumes for righteousness, right, you're hired. This is a guy. This is who you want right here. As part reason for confidence in the flesh, verse 4. And he turns it basically says to anyone, you think you're the stuff? You think your rigor of faithfulness is impressive? You who would dare to impose your heavy-handed lists upon me? You think you're qualified to lie like a dog to my friends in Philippi? Check this out. And then he rattles off really 7 features. 7 features of confidence in the flesh, verse 5. See that? Again, just real quick. Circumcised on the eighth day. Literally, he's an eight-dayer. I like that. I'm an eight-dayer. Ooh. Take that. Mangy mutts. Born into that kind of a Jewish family. I'm a purebred. I got privileges. My parents, even sent me to Jerusalem to study under Rabbi Gamaliel. Don't forget, I'm a Pharisee, which means I'm a separated one. I'm thoroughly trained. I'm thoroughly committed to the things. Zealous for following the rules. As if to say, people of God in Philippi there, people of God here, if the mangy mutts, those Judaizers, if they're right, if being made right with God comes from conforming to these outward rules, these laws and appearances, then I'm their best example. I'm their best example. Look at me. I'm the loyal lassie. I am. Born purebred, pedigree impeccable, papers in hand. No less from the proud tribe of Benjamin, verse 5, the tribe that gave Israel her first king, Saul. Maybe Paul was named after. My grooming in obedience schools. I know how to heal. I know how to stop. I know how to keep the Sabbath. I know. I'm a show dog. I'm top dog. We say goat today. Paul's saying, DOG. He's top dog. Loyal Lassie, that's who you're looking at here. I'm telling you myself that trusting in your own efforts, putting confidence in your flesh, yourself, your faithfulness, your works, it'll come back and bite you. Even the very best dogs can't live up to God's standards. Obedience schools, they just don't go that high. The training falls short. Your own efforts and obedience will always fail you. They always will fail. Your obedience can't make you righteous. Have you heard that before? You'll hear that again. That's why you need a Savior. Or as we say it today, that's why you need to get saved. You need someone else to come into your helpless life and rescue you from your present condition. Rescue. That's the final point. And it's in verse 3. It's dog number 3 that we encounter in this bark and bite, the rescued runt. So we're moving from the lies and legalisms of the mangy mutt to the self-righteous confidence expressed by the so-called loyal lassie to the rescued runt. Could that contribute to your joy to know that you're a rescued runt? Paul characterizes the bark of the Judaizers. He gives 3 descriptive terms for them. And also here in verse 3, he explains the nature of the true circumcision, true believers, the rescued runts we're calling them. He uses 3 clauses here as well. Let me rattle these off. First, he says, such persons, verse 3, see it? For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God. Right? So they serve, they're not serving in their own flesh. They're serving in the power of the Spirit. They worship this way. The Philippians, the brothers and sisters in Christ, rejoice. We worship by the Spirit of God. Secondly, the saved here, those who glory in Christ or rejoice in Christ. See it there? They know, you know, that your hope and your satisfaction in this life are coming from Him. In Jesus. You're not trying frantically to keep up with the latest outward appearance. If you've done that, I hope you're tired. I hope that burns you out so that you can find yourself saying, I need rescue. Conformity to rules is not bad in itself. If that's what you heard today, let me tighten that up. Conformity to rules has it can keep you out of jail. Might keep you in a job if you follow rules. But it can't make you righteous in the eyes of God. And the rescued runt knows that. You are aware, and so you beware of these other dogs. You say to yourself, I need a shelter, I need a Savior. I need a shepherd, as we've sung already. I need a good shepherd for this dog. Helpless dog knows it. Verse 3, he's never to put confidence in the flesh. See that? No confidence in the flesh. It's sort of the essence of the dog's bark here. In a woof, it sounds something like this. Woof, I need a master. I need a master. I need a master to walk with me. I need him. I need him to feed me daily, as we've said already today and sung. I need him to hold me and guard me, protect me, or I'm as good as dead. I'm as good as dead. If you've ever been to a dog pound or whatever they call them today, animal shelter, humane society, rescue center, whatever. If you've ever been there, it can be pretty sad. He got dogs, other animals, all caged up, some looking rather forlorn and pathetic for obvious reason. And they're waiting for someone to come in there and rescue them. They don't have an owner. See, they don't have a home. They have little hope. No master. We can all picture this day when, in such a scene, a father and a son come in one morning, and they both walk up to a very particular kennel, and they smile at the cage attendant person there, and they point directly at this little runt of a dog. He's just sitting there helplessly, quivering in the corner of the cage. And father and son together say, "That one. That one." They place their affection on that one. So the cage is open, the grateful dog scurries out, a little confused. But he goes home. He gets cleaned up, learns to live and to play, to serve with a new master. Child of God, that's you. You're one of the blessed rescued runts for whom Jesus came to live and to die and to rise and reign. And whenever you forget that truth in some practical way and lean on yourself and your flesh and your confidence, and you fail to remember your helplessness, you also need to beware. You need to beware of yourself, your self-confidence, your pride, like the mutt and the lassie. We're all prone to believe the lie that I need to do more to earn God's love and righteousness. That will bite you. The rescued runt belongs to the Lord. You've been chosen by Him, affection set on you purposefully. The more you see that, the more you see your need and your rescue from the Lord, your joy is filled, and you rejoice in the Lord alone. Let's pray together. Father, thank you that you give us a reason to rejoice in you with our soul, our bodies, as those rescued by a good shepherd. Because you've rescued us and because you've made us your own, we praise you in the sanctuary today. Lord, we pray that you would keep us from falling into pride. Keep us from falling into the fear that comes from being chased by legalism in our own day. And its cry to try harder in the flesh, to live out the true faith that's been given to us by the gracious Savior. Lord, instead, let us find our joy, our rest in you, and by your Spirit to rejoice in Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.